Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, welcome. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk. And we're going to bring to you today opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Thursday. We have Wendy Wilson joining us here in just a few minutes. And we're going to be talking about health, the first segment of the program today. Today is Thursday, May 9th, 2013. Then after the segment, the first segment, we'll be talking, of course, about our economy, telephone calls, and many, many other things. But first, let's get to a market report. Gold held up fairly decent, except for the last hour of trading. They decided to come in and do their little handiwork on it. Gold is down $18. At $14.57. Silver's down 22 at $23.83. However, platinum is up $3 today at $15.10. And we have palladium up 13 at $712. The USDX today, of course, that showed strength today at 0.79 at $82.71, along with crude oil down almost a buck at $95.92. And the markets today, sure, it's probably another day. I didn't follow them today. They were all in the red a little bit, snapping their five-day winning streak. And you had the Dow down 23 points at 15.082, NASDAQ down 4 at 34.09, S&P down 6 at 16.26, and the 10-year yield, 0.181. Wonder if she's going to stop or head back down. 800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Give us a call. We've got a lot of great specials going on, a lot of low prices. Silver's beginning to free up a little bit. I see the premiums inching down little by little. And but you need to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody. What's new today? Anything?
Not too much. Nope. Just, it's been kind of hectic. And
April. Well, I don't have anything to add. There's news reports, of course. Things are happening in terms of Christians are immigrating out of Muslim countries. And with the bees, there's concern that one more bad winter may be enough to wipe out the bees for all practical purposes in this country. If that happens, we're not going to have any food. It's a bad winter, not another winter. It's a bad winter. I'm not absolutely. We'll get into that later on in the program. There's always things to talk about. But before we do, let's get to Wendy Wilson.
Hello, Al. Hello, Melody. How you doing?
Just fine. How are you? Wendy is from thepowerherbs.com, also the Apothecary Herb Shop. And she will be talking to us today, as always on Thursdays, about some insights into herbs and natural remedies and cures and so on and so forth. I don't know. Can you say remedies? Can you say cures?
Wendy? We're not supposed to. Those are bad words. All I can do
because I'm not selling any.
I know.
I can talk about remedies and cures because I'm not selling any, but if I were actually selling any, then those would be taboo words, wouldn't they?
Yeah. The information is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Seek advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. Ha ha. I think we have some questions from listeners, though, Melanie. Don't we have some questions that we have to go over?
Yes, we do. We have one. This is in from Beth. Question is, could you please ask Wendy what can be done with a low white blood count? Are there foods or herbs to counteract the problem? I guess she recently had blood work and everything else seems to be normal, but this was borderline low. And she says, not sure if you could answer the question on air. And she says, thank you.
Well, yes. And it was Beth, right?
That's correct.
All right, Beth. Yes. Well, you know, low white blood cell count can, you know, sometimes be a sign of an underlying medical problem, but not always. So, you know, it's a good thing to, you know, to check it out, do your due diligence and, you know, talk to your healthcare provider, because not all medical laboratories will use the same range to decide what's a normal and what's not white blood cell count. Also, you know, take into account your age, gender, ethnic group, because some groups of people just have naturally low white blood cell levels than others. Well, that said, let's see what low white blood cell could mean. Well, it could be indicative of a suppressed immune system and, you know, your emotional state, the stress you're under, maybe your diet could use some little, you know, tweaking. You know, your overall lifestyle can affect all that. Your nutritional intake is going to be very important because if you're not getting the right nutrition, it can lower the immune system and lower your white blood cell counts. And low immunity can also be caused by a number of health conditions, or maybe you've had surgery recently, or a number of medical treatments. And, you know, you got to take that into effect in the natural aging process. So, well, if there's some things out there that you could do naturally to improve your white cell count, there are a few things. First, you want to try to avoid as much of that refined white sugar as you can, because that will prevent white blood cells from being they're at their strongest in your immune system. Also, you want to eliminate the unhealthy fats, because the polyunsaturated fats in vegetable oils or corn or safflower oils are deterrents to a healthy immune system. So, you know, olive oil is very good. So there are some options there. Now, if you're overweight, it's a good idea to lose a few pounds. That's going to help you, as well as drink plenty of water to boost that immune system up. And exercise has been proven to improve immune system. Plus, if you exercise and think positive thoughts, your immune system will be heightened all day. And avoid stress as much as you can and get some relaxation, some me time in. And there are some foods that are going to help you out, Beth. Carrots and other red and yellow, orange, and dark green leafy vegetables contain a lot of that beta carotene, which helps protect your immune system, especially your thymus gland. The beta carotene and other keratins strengthen the white blood cells. Foods rich in the beta carotene help the body fight off infection better. And also drinking some green tea will also improve your white blood cell count. And lastly, your herbs that are going to help you out if you need a little immune system boosting, your astragalus root, which you can take as needed. Ginseng is another one that you can layer in. And, of course, echinacea, but use that only when you're sick. And garlic. Garlic is an awesome herb to heighten that white cell count. So I hope I answered your question, Beth.
Oh, very good information there, Wendy. Do you have any questions on that, Al?
No, not particularly. You've got another question from, I'm not sure. I've got one here from Donald.
Yes.
Is that the same one you
same
have?
Same one, yes.
Okay, go ahead.
This question is about cod liver oil and how it works in the brain.
Right.
He knows it interacts with the receptors in the brain and either making new connections or restores them. It also helps with psychiatric medication to allow a person taking it to function on a lower dose of medication. And it also works well with good B complex and the proper brain function. And he would just like to know if you could explain and give him some help. He says it uses, I love cod liver oil. I think it's a great, great item also.
Well, cod liver oil is kind of an old, you know, family remedy. You know, they used to use it, back, World War II especially. They'd give it to kids because of the vitamin D in it to help prevent rickets. And other, ailments that come from vitamin D deficiency. But it's kind of like an old-fashioned nutritional supplement. And a lot of people are into the fish oils because of the omega-3 fatty acids, and they got the EPA and the DHA acids in there. And these acids, this cod liver oil is going to contain vitamin A and vitamin D, which is historically got some foundation for good health. And for instance, they have done studies on the omega-3 essential fatty acids that you'll find in cod liver oil, and they find it helps support functions like fertility, as well as if you're thinking about starting a family, it's good for helping the baby's nervous system and brain to develop properly. It also does have great benefits for eye development and the heart. So, but his question, I think, was more specifically, how does it help the brain? Well, they know by scientific research that if you have low levels of the omega-3 fatty acids, the DHA, the EPA, it has been linked to depression. That's why it helps people when they're on antidepressants, when they take the cod liver oil. It also helps with other mental issues they found, because the DHA is an essential nutrient for proper brain function and development. The EPA supports a healthy behavior and mood. So these essential omega-3 fatty acids are very important if you suffer from depression, anxiety, panic attacks, any of those things, some form of mental illness. Cod liver oil may be something you want to look at.
What is the relationship to dementia, Alzheimer's, any? Is there any evidence that you've talked about it helps the brain to form new synapses, essentially? I think that's what you're probably saying. I'm curious, does it have an effect with the Alzheimer's?
Yeah, it does. They have done some studies with the Alzheimer's patients. They do improve somewhat. I've talked to Dr. Carley about the Alzheimer's issue, and she truly believes that when she was in medical school, there was a lot of research that pointed to a lot of heavy metals. And where do you get heavy metals, Al? Do you know?
Probably down at the hardware store. I'm not sure.
Well, Dr. Carley gave me a list of how we tend to absorb these heavy metals. We first get introduced to them through vaccinations. And then, because the mercury and things. And then we also, if we're eating out of canned goods that aren't properly lined, or if we have cookware that's not made well, you got the wrong kind of cookware. Plus, she says everybody is cooking with aluminum foil.
Yeah.
And so she says there's lots of ways that we are absorbing these heavy metals, plus, the fillings from your dentist. There's lots of ways that we can get this toxicity in our system, and then it messes up our brain function. So I truly believe the cod liver oil will help somewhat, but you definitely need to do some kind of heavy metal detox if you've got the Alzheimer issue.
You mentioned heavy metals, and I freeze lemons, buy lemons, put them in the freezer, and I'll have a glass of water with lemon in it, sometimes ginger in it, and I just take the ginger out of the freezer, I take the lemon out of the freezer, whole lemon, and I run it on a grater, a little cheese grater.
Yeah.
And reduce it, put it in there, and I like it.
Sounds
wonderful. It's kind of like lemonade, and I like it. It just works for me. Is there something I bought a new grater back, I don't know, 3 months ago maybe, and worked real well. But I looked at it just the other day, and I could see that the way it had been manufactured, it was still working, but the part that grated the lemons or whatever I ran, it had eroded where probably two-thirds of the metal on these little ridges that would catch and was gone.
Probably the acid from the lemon helped with that.
Well, I don't think so. It's possible, but the lemon is frozen. I don't know how much acidic effect. And I mean, these things are, I rinse them off as soon as I get done using them. I think it was just the abrasion. I think the metal was just weak enough, and the abrasion of taking ice, essentially frozen lemon, frozen ginger, I think the abrasion just wore the metal away. Mm-hmm. But I guarantee it gets you talking to yourself, because I'm going to presume that virtually all of that metal was ingested.
Oh, dear.
Hopefully it was passed. Right?
Yeah.
But it was something, first time I've ever seen it, so I put it out there for, I don't know, anyone who wants to pay attention, you might want to take a look at your graters.
Yeah.
And,
well, you know, you
rethink
do have a
whether
blood...
you want to be grating things if the metal erodes.
Well, you do have a blood-brain barrier, so that's a good thing. Unfortunately, if you're taking certain products like over-the-counter pain relievers, or even prescription pain relievers, those are designed to break down the blood-brain barrier. And there's certain things that shouldn't go into the brain, and they're hard to get out. So if folks out there are using, you know, acetaminophen, Tylenol, Advil, aspirin even, these things will expose your brain to more toxicity. So try to use something more natural instead.
You're implying that once these toxins get into the brain, okay, you're saying they're harder to get out.
Yeah,
does that mean that the detoxification products, even the, what, EDTA, for example, that is prevented by the blood-brain barrier from entering the brain and removing the toxins?
Well, I was talking about the omega-3 fatty acids, DHA, and things like that. Those are essential for brain functions. But we were talking about things that shouldn't go into the brain, you know, obviously pharmaceutical residues, you know, of course, if you're on opiates and things like that. So, I mean, there's certain things that are harder to detox from tissue, and the brain's one of them. It's not like the liver and your gallbladder, which, you know, are designed to purge and to detoxify. So it's just a little bit harder and takes longer to deal with a detoxing organ like the brain. Sometimes it's almost impossible on some cases. So I've talked to Dr. Carly about it too, and she says, yeah, the brain's the most challenging to deal with.
But is that because of the blood-brain barrier, or is it for other reasons? I mean, the brain may have no reason to detoxify if it's relying on the blood-brain barrier, so there's no mechanism, perhaps. I'm just curious if that's central to the problem or if it's something else.
Well, I mean, it's then you're working with what we call blood purifiers, because blood goes into the brain, and so blood brings in nutrition, takes away, you know, waste material. So then you're having to work through the blood system a bit more to deal with that.
Well, and none of it's easy, and we've piled up these toxins over decades, and I guess the point in all of this is you have to get smart as soon as possible and try to take care of yourself as best you can. Minimize the problems you cause and do what you can to correct the ones you've already caused, and, you know, do what you can with your life. Wendy, we've got about 30 seconds left to talk about the Apothecary Herbs Shop, powerherbs.com, and your 800 number and so on. So.
Oh, let her rip. Yeah, let her rip. It's the toll-free number, if folks would like a free product catalog, it's 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663, or go to thepowerherbs.com, and you can download the PDF version of the catalog. Oh, and we're coming out with a new one. Hopefully it'll be here at the end of May, so we're all excited about that.
Good. All right, Wendy, thanks very much. We'll see you again next Thursday.
All right. Thanks, Al. Thanks, Melody.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Wendy. Bye-bye. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll take a break for a couple minutes and be right back. Please stay tuned.
PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addisk. Yeah, I'm sitting here. I had 4 hours sleep last night and not hitting on all eight cylinders, but I remember my name, Alfred Addisk, and the name of the program is Financial Survival, and my co-host is Melody. Melody Cederstrom, that's right. And
who?
Melody?
Who?
Melody Cederstrom, Discount Gold and Silver.
Too much of those.
Gold and silver coin needs. And, Melody, do we have a special for people today?
It's not that you had 4 hours sleep, Al. It's that you had all that metal from that grater in your system.
It might be. It may be that I know. It's really disturbing me. I mean, I looked at that, it had eroded so much of that metal. I don't know.
Anyway, with gold down again, we got some everybody took advantage of those Mint State 63 $20 St. Gaudens and Dr. Stanley Monteith's book, Brotherhood of Darkness, for $17.95. We got a few of those left. That includes also shipping. But we got a couple of, I don't know if anybody would be interested. When we get 90% bags in, we pull out the really circulated coins, throw it in the drawer, and we keep it. Well, my drawer was getting pretty big. So if there's anyone that is interested, and we divided them up in little bags of $25 face value of 90% silver, and they're worn. These are coins that I would pull out for the VG plus circulated coins. That's what we do here at Discount Gold and Silver. I mean, you know, we do have quality controls in effect, protocols that we follow. We look at our 90%. So if anybody's interested in any of those bags, you can probably pick them up for about I'd sell them spot price today, $25 face value. So it's a heck of a deal for 90% silver. We don't have a lot of those little bags. We might have We might have 10 of those bags if anyone's interested, but just give us a call. Give Carla a call right now at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I think most of the items are quarters. There might be some, I don't think there are any dimes. Most of them are quarters, maybe a couple 50-cent pieces, a few of the walking libs. And there might even be a silver dollar in there, too. So give us a call. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. We joined forces with Wendy Wilson of Apothecary Herbs. She does the health section, and we do the wealth section. So you want to stay healthy, wealthy, and wise. So make sure you get to the and if you have any questions for today's program, you can send us at questions@dgscoins.com. questions@dgscoins.com.
We've got an article here on bees. And most of your headline is America is one bad winter away from a food disaster thanks to dying bees. Forget the plight of the polar bear for a moment and consider the coming collapse of the $30 billion honeybee economy in the United States. Since 2006, honeybees, responsible for pollinating more than 100 crops from apples to zucchini, have been dying by the tens of millions. As a new report from the United States Department of Agriculture details, scientists are still struggling to pinpoint the cause of so-called colony collapse disorder, and time is running out. Now, there have been speculation as to whether it was caused by cell phones or pesticides, and I don't know that there's a single answer to this problem. But part of the reason I wanted to talk about it today is it occurs to me there have been people who've said the problem is the spread of some sort of a mite, a tiny parasite, an insect, a tiny insect that attaches to the honeybees and ultimately just consumes them, kills them, and they think maybe that's what's causing the colony collapse. I don't doubt that's part of the problem. I don't know that it's the whole problem, but what crosses my mind is that in the past, our honeybees were located in a particular place. And we had, if a particular hive was infested with mites, that hive might perish, but the next hive down the road might not be infected. There wouldn't be an easy way for the mites to move from one hive to another hive, particularly on a mass basis, on a national basis. But I suspect that many, maybe most of you, have been on the highway driving around, and you've seen one of these semis with a semi-tractor trailer with a trailer load full of beehives. Huh? And I don't know, they probably got, who knows, 150 beehives, 200? I'm not sure how many they can fit on the back of one of those trailers. It might be 500. I'm not sure how many are there, but the bees are all buzzing around, and they have it encased, but even so, some of the bees get loose, and there's bees all over around that truck. They move the hives from region to region, from farm to farm. When it's time to pollinate a crop, they move the hive in. They move all these hives in, they set them down, they pollinate the crops, then they pack up the hives, and they move them down the road to the next farm, the next business, the next state where they need pollination. Well, it's obvious when you stop to think about it that by virtue of moving those hives, if just one hive catches that mite, if those mites infest one of those hives, it'll spread to all the rest of them. And as they go around the country, those truckloads of bees may be the vector that moves the mites in a way that is destroying bees throughout the United States. Again, I'm not going to argue this is the only reason, but it wouldn't surprise me if this is a major part of the reason. You can't just have honeybees and just, no, you run your own honeybees. No, we got to be efficient. We got to make money. We got to move hundreds of boxes, hundreds of hives at a time, and in the process, of moving them, we help to move the mites and infest the whole bee population. So, Melody, if you've got any, if you're keeping bees, and you know, I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about trying to set up a couple of beehives near building a little cabin up here in Oregon. And I'm thinking of setting up a couple of beehives. I don't know if I'll be able to keep them. I'll be successful, but I'm thinking about giving them a try. So if I do, Melody, I won't be putting my hives on any trucks. You understand?
People don't, you know, this is a real serious situation. I mean,
yes.
You know, without the bee, the civilization ceases.
Yeah.
And I saw some numbers. It was around the year 2000, I believe, that the U.S. produced about 200 million pounds of honey. In the last couple of years, it's more in the neighborhood of 140 million pounds. So that's almost a third that has been eliminated.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's significant in just 10 years.
I understand.
And what I didn't know, the one article that I saw, it said that an estimated one-third of all food and beverages come from pollination. I don't know what beverage would come from pollination.
Well, some of the ingredients.
Mm.
You know, some of the ingredients that they... I know this would be a shock, but not everything that's in your Coca-Cola, your Pepsi-Cola, and your Diet Cola is made from petroleum products. They still use one or two natural ingredients that are made from plants that have to be pollinated. They're probably working them out. It won't be long. We'll get pure petroleum products. You will be able to drink that with ice, and it'll be refreshing. Or without ice, you can pour it directly into your gas tank. And it'll drive your car. In an emergency, it'll drive your car another, who knows, 5 miles. So,
but, you know, with the use of the pesticides and, as you mentioned, the parasites and the disease, yeah, there's all kinds of reasons. And it's just not happening here in this country. It's happening all around the world. There's been a decrease of bees.
Yeah. And it's just ironic. It is so surprising that the world is put together in a way where the loss of a particular species of insects might be enough to collapse the global food supply, the national food supply. I don't know. All of a sudden, the bees disappear and bang. You know, I've been looking at the trees here in Oregon, on eastern Oregon, where I'm living, and we've had a beautiful springtime. And there's apple trees and pear trees and peach trees all over here that are blossoming. And you just drive down there, oh, my gosh, beautiful. But I don't see any bees around the trees. And I'm hoping there are other insects that will also pollinate the flowers on all of these fruit trees. And there's a lot of them up here. There are a lot of them up here, but no bees that I'm able to see. And it occurred to me, I was talking to a friend of mine, Jim, it occurred to me that an invention the world may be looking for right now is a mechanical pollinator. Huh? If the bees go, you have to find a way to pollinate those flowers, or guess what? They are not going to turn into apples or oranges or peaches, pears, tomatoes. You know, I mean, without that pollinization, the food supply just folds up. That's the end of the story. So how are you going to pollinate those trees? And I was thinking, you might be able to do something like a backpack blower, a vacuum device that will collect pollen and also blow it around on the trees. You might be able to do something with something like a handheld drill. This is just a very rough idea. With something like a fishing pole, fiberglass or, composite carbon fishing pole that's attached to your little drill, your electric drill, and bzz, 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 and spins the fishing pole. And up on the end of the fishing pole, maybe you got a bunch of feathers, kind of like a feather duster. And you just gently walk around the tree and dust all the flowers with your little feather duster. It would be a chore. I mean, it would take some time. I'd be surprised if you could do 4 trees per man hour. You might be able to do better than that. You might be able to do 5 or 6, but even so, it would add to the cost of the fruits and vegetables, but you'd still get fruits and vegetables. So the point I'm trying to make is, those of you that are listening, and if you have a mechanical, you know, you're a little bit mechanically inclined, and you want to be an inventor if you're not already. It looks like we're headed for a time where an effective mechanical pollinator is going to be a valuable invention. So all I can say is when you make it and it works and you make billions and billions of dollars, drop me a check. Say, Al, we really want to thank you for that idea. We made billions of dollars, so here's your $100 reward.
Is this what you've been doing? Staying up to 4 o'clock thinking about how to pollinate the world?
No, I don't think about how to pollinate. I'm too old to think about pollinating.
Okay.
My pollinating days are pretty much behind me, Melody. I think basically I'm focusing on how do we get the SOBs in Washington. That's what I think. That's what I lay awake thinking about, you know. Young man's springtime and a mature man's fancy turns to how do we settle accounts with those people in Washington, D.C.? That's what keeps me awake at night.
Let's talk about telephone calls. They're being recorded and who they're accessible to.
All right. Do you want to start or you want me to?
Go ahead.
All right. You're going to have to wait just a second while I load that. All right. All phone calls. This is from Mail Online, which is an English publication. All phone calls in the United States are recorded and accessible to the government, claims former FBI agent. That's the the headline. A former FBI counterterrorism agent has hinted at a vast and intrusive surveillance network used by the U.S. government to monitor its own citizens. Tim Clemente admitted as much when he appeared on CNN Wednesday night discussing the Boston Marathon attack and past telephone conversations of Catherine Russell and her now-deceased husband, suspect Tamarin Tsarnaev. Clemente said that those conversations would be available to investigators. Clemente discussed the issue in his exchange with host Ellen Burr, recorded on CNN, and they go into the transcript. And on the one hand, they report this as news. But I can remember talking to people 20 years ago that explained that they had wired AT&T and the rest of that. I mean, it had been accessible where everything could be recorded. I don't know that everything was, but it's been going on since after World War II. This we hear about this as if this is news. But the truth is the government's been spying on us for, who knows, 50 years or more by means of telephones. I'm not suggesting they listened to every phone call, but I am suggesting that they could. Right? They had the means to do so if they targeted, and it was not uncommon. The problem they've got is you listen to all these phone calls, and they have to be listened to by computers, and they listen for key words. And if they hear the key words, like if I said bomb on the phone call, bomb, if I say that over the telephone line, then the computer records the call and goes beep, 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 down to CIA headquarters or Fort Meade or wherever it is, and they sound the alarm, and someone has to listen to my dopey phone calls. Huh? Which I find to be fairly amusing. The point I'm trying to make is there are so many phone calls. Even if they have capacity to listen to them, they have voice recognition systems and whatever, where they can hear what people are saying and they look for keywords. Even with that, they have to have more phone calls to listen to than they can possibly listen to. There aren't enough people. In the end, no matter what your technology is, it's like devising a new technology to harvest all the corn in Iowa. I've got a new technology. We will harvest all the corn in Iowa in one day. Fantastic technology. Great. Harvest all the corn. Now what? We got a machine to harvest all the corn, but we don't have a means of moving it all in one day. There is still a logistical problem where I know they can listen to particular individuals and they can, you know, hear everything you say or you wanted to say, but they are still overwhelmed. I don't care what computers they have, they are still ultimately overwhelmed by the volume of their own surveillance data. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Got an article here from Gold Antitrust Action Committee. Diplomatic cables show central banks conspiring to rig gold even after demonetization. That's the headline. Probably the headline sounds a little incoherent or incomprehensible to some people, but what they're talking about. Well, let me just read part of the article. U.S. diplomatic cables. Now, this is from WikiLeaks, right? I can't even remember the name of the little guy in the army that released apparently hundreds of thousands of email that had been classified, and he released them to the public, and some of them included diplomatic cables that dealt with how central banks were conspiring to rig the price of gold back even in the 1970s, if I understand this correctly. It says U.S. diplomatic cables show that 3 years after the United States canceled the dollar's official convertibility into gold for foreign governments, that would be back in 1971, and they're talking 3 years later, we're talking 1974, cables in 1974, thereby ending gold's former role as money, Western governments and central banks were still meeting secretly to scheme about controlling the monetary metals market price. The cables, identified this week by Goddess Consultant, among thousands published recently by WikiLeaks, reiterate that when it comes to government and gold conspiracy, that is, planning and acting together in secret, is not a mere theory, but simple fact and the basic way business is done. This was established by Gatta's Freedom of Information lawsuit against the Federal Reserve Board in the United States District Court in the District of Columbia, which in 2011 forced the Fed to release the minutes of the secret April 1997 meeting, and yada yada, and goes on. But the point is they have been working to manipulate and control the price of gold. It's not a recent thing. They've been doing it since, according to this, since at least 1974. And this makes perfect sense to me from this perspective. Once the United States went off the gold standard, they had to be careful that the dollar, which became a pure fiat currency at that point, back in 1971, they had to be careful that gold didn't all of a sudden take off and skyrocket. Gold, in theory, held that $35. Well, it didn't advance explosively after 1971, but it could have. And if it had advanced explosively, and all of a sudden gold had gone from $35 an ounce and it had jumped up to $500 an ounce by 1972. And that's not completely out of the question. It could have, it was conceivable. It didn't happen. Might not have happened. But it's not inconceivable. If it had done that, it would have illustrated that the pure fiat currency was worthless, and it would have been nipped in the bud. The fiat dollar might have failed in the early 1970s. It was important to maintain this new and purely fiat dollar, that gold be controlled. Now, this implies, if the governments and central banks have been controlling and suppressing the price of gold since 1974, we are now in the neighborhood of almost 40 years of price suppression for gold. And we can reasonably wonder what would the true free market price of gold be if it hadn't been suppressed. It doesn't mean they held it down completely. They had to let it grow. And it's grown dramatically. The dollar's lost 95-97% of its value since 1971 in terms of gold. There's been enormous inflation, but the implication is that while they may have allowed gold to grow 10 or 20% per year, that without the suppression implemented by the central banks and the governments of major Western countries, without that suppression, right now gold, God only knows what the price of gold might be. It might be $5,000 an ounce. It might be $10,000 an ounce. No one knows. But what we do understand, or at least what I believe, I can't say what we understand, I can say what I believe, is that eventually the gold suppression schemes have to fail. Sooner or later, they have to run out of the necessary wealth, the power, whatever is required to hold the price of gold down, and sooner or later, price of gold has to go back to a free market price. And when it does, from my perspective, precisely because of what now appears to be nearly 40 years of price manipulation and suppression, the price of gold is going to increase dramatically at some point in the future. And odds are we're not talking about 50 years from now. We're talking about, who knows? You know, in theory, it could be within the next 5 years. It could be within the next 12 months. We don't know when it's going to happen, but it seems like a relatively short time period is what's most likely. That energy is trapped. It's just like, you know, you've all seen the analogy. You take the beach ball and you hold it underwater at the bottom of the pool. But the beach ball has that energy in it that it wants to get up to the surface of the pool. And when it finally takes off, you finally lose control of the beach ball and it comes rocketing up out of the pool. We can expect something like that in gold. I believe that's going to happen. It depends, that belief depends on the presumption that the government can't hold this fraud together for the balance of this century. It depends. The presumption that the price of gold is going to rise dramatically presumes that the government is going to run out of energy. It's going to lose the capacity to continue to suppress the price of gold. And when it does, there's going to be an explosive price increase. And it's not an unreasonable presumption. The government is legally bankrupt. The national debt is not $17 trillion, as they allege, but according to the Congressional Budget Office, over $200 trillion. It can't possibly be repaid. There are a host of problems that are facing us. We talk about them on this program on a regular basis. And because of these problems, and because there is a constellation of problems, it's not one problem. It's a host of problems. And virtually every one of them points to a moment when the government will not have enough money to control the price of gold. They won't have enough power. They won't have enough clout. And all of a sudden, oh my gosh, it's going to break loose. And when the beach ball breaks loose, everybody who's holding a gold coin is going to say, yippee. You're going to be happy campers if you're holding any gold at that point. And again, point for me is the manipulation, the evidence that the manipulation has been going on here for the first time almost 40 years ago. That evidence is part of the rationale for buying gold. From my perspective, it's evidence that the price of gold must rise dramatically at some point in the foreseeable future. And therefore, gold as an investment is virtually unbeatable. What else do we have, Melody? Do you have another one you want to talk about, or did you want to add something to this?
No. I mean, you know, back in the early 90s, and you know, we talk about why people need to buy gold, you know, with the fiat currencies, trying to explain to folks you have a falling value of your currency and inflation, you lose. We're trying to explain all this, but yet at the same time you have all this manipulation. And there was always the, how can they keep this going for as long as they can? Mm-hmm. And, you know, this information, these cables and the confirmation, I mean, we all know that it's manipulated, but the confirmation that it is happening certainly is it's a major part of it. And
absolutely.
And it just tells you how important gold is. And how important it is that you need, and really is one of the ways, as far as I'm concerned, the only way to protect yourself against
a collapse of the fiat currencies. Yeah. That's what it says.
They know it's going
to happen.
I mean,
it's not just an investment, and it's not just a monetary metal. It's also a hedge against collapse of fiat currencies, which around the world, central banks are reportedly printing more and more fiat currency. They are doing their level best to inflate, presumably to avoid or minimize a global depression. All of those printed fiat currencies and the additional printing of the fiat currencies, it has to inflate. It means the dollars and the euros and the yen and whatever, they become worth less. And as they do, the price of gold has to go up. And it's one of the very few protections that should be available to prevent being robbed by inflation by your own government. That's true here. That's true in Japan. It's true in Europe. It's true around the world. Gold is a hedge against fiat currencies. It is a protection against being robbed by government sponsored inflation. So if you trust your government, you don't need any gold. You probably need your head examined. You probably, if you trust the government and say, oh, I don't need any gold, we'll be all right, fine. But I don't invest in gold, but you ought to think about seeing a shrink. Right? They've got a new, a new manual coming out for the psychiatrists.
Yeah.
And they have a host of new diseases in there. And I suspect that one of them will be, at least should be, people who trust the government. That should be deemed a disease. Yes, Melody?
I don't want to interrupt, but we do have a caller, and he's actually calling from London. And it's Nick from London. Hello, Nick. Are you there, please?
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Just fine, Nick. How are you?
Good, great. Yeah, you were talking about the gold being artificially low. it's very important to you know, the important families who can basically buy and sell the Fort Knox on a daily basis to keep the price artificially low. It's actually very important for them to own gold and as well as other precious metals and jewels for their own religious practices. So they personally want the gold, but I mean they like robber barons. You know, they've been robbing humanity for the last 6,000 years. They don't have a thing that doesn't belong to us. If they hadn't robbed us blind, we would have been living in an alternative universe. If Nikola Tesla had his way, he would have given free energy to the world over. So they don't have nothing that don't belong to us. I mean, you could make a money system based on wooden sticks, which is what they had in England here for 800 years. The tally sticks. It wasn't a gold-based currency. It was a gold-based currency, but the reason why they used wood was so that you couldn't defraud the king. So he had a copy of your tally stick in his in his personal vault. So yeah, you're right. Gold-based currency is very, very good. But they will do everything they can to keep robbing us blind forever, because, as the Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil.
So
they don't know any better. They just know how to be greedy. They just know how to look only as far as their noses. They can't look past their noses. They don't have anything that they haven't robbed from us, and they will keep that price artificially low for as long as possible. The fact of humanity is things can become terrible, then they can become even more terrible, then they can become even more terrible, then they can become even more terrible, until somebody puts their foot down and says, hey, hang on, enough is enough.
Exactly right. I'll tell you what, we've got a section in our Declaration of Independence that says all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer evils, while evils are sufferable, than to take action to right themselves. And that's just what you're saying. You're saying the same thing. People will put up with an enormous amount of abuse before they finally react, but when they do, then heads roll. Nick, we want to thank you for your call, and we want to thank you for listening. We are out of time, so we have to close the program down. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day, and pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.